I just started breaking down to him, saying our son will never be able to have his own family. And he looked at me and he goes, we don't know that. We don't know that. These a person with Down syndrome, a child, an adult, they're so capable of much more than what our society kind of told us. And so we really don't know what the future holds. So it's kind of more learning to have faith in the unknown.
They say when a baby is born, so is a mother. But while you are there to help your baby grow into the person he or she is meant to be, who is there to help you? Many women feel lost and alone when they become mothers, wondering, who am I now? Sometimes it feels like the transformation from woman to mother is as radical as a caterpillar's transformation into a butterfly. Did you know that inside the chrysalis, the caterpillar literally turns into goop before it rearranges itself into a butterfly? This podcast is about the goop, what soul transformation looks like as you transition from being a woman to a mom. Your baby's growth matters, but yours does too. You're not alone. I'm your host, Brittany Ming. Welcome to the Motherhood Metamorphosis.
Welcome everyone to this episode of the Motherhood Metamorphosis. I'm your host, Brittany Ming, and today we're talking to Lisi Lopez. Lisi is a mother to three incredible kids and a wife to her college sweetheart. She worked as an industrial engineer before her middle son was born with Down syndrome, and she was promoted to stay-at-home mom. She has now been figuring out the journey of motherhood and enjoying all its fun surprises. She also has an advocate Instagram account for her son at Our Extra Lucky World and a blog at ourextraluckyworld.wixsite.com. So I'll share all that at the end in the show notes. So that'll be good. So welcome, Lisi. I'm so excited to have you on today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so you reached out to me to talk about your amazing son and what that journey has been like when you found out that he has Down syndrome. So I was wondering if you could share that story of transformation with us.
Yeah, of course. So it was almost 6 years ago, I went in for the 11-week ultrasound check. And that's where they saw the big NT in his neck, which is a marker for some chromosomes disorders. And we did the blood work. And 2 weeks later, we found out that, yes, our son has Down syndrome and would be born with Down syndrome. And then to add to that, a few weeks later, we also found out he has a congenital heart defect. Mm. So we were just shocked. It was one surprise after the other. My husband and I were both in our early 20s, no history of any chromosomal issues in our families. And we were caught completely off guard, to say the least. But that is how we found out that our middle son would be born with Down syndrome.
So how do you feel like you emotionally processed that as your pregnancy progressed? Because you found out pretty early. Is that pretty early to find out? I kind of hear about people finding out maybe at their 20-week ultrasound, but you're the first person I found out who I've heard who's found out at the 11-week ultrasound.
Yeah, I think the blood work is fairly new, at least in terms of how the probability of how correct it is. And being pregnant in the beginning and getting that news, it was a lot to take in, obviously. It's funny because I knew I wasn't the first person to get a diagnosis for my child with Down syndrome, yet I still felt alone and not sure what I was supposed to do with that news. You know, for me and my husband, it was never a question of whether or not we wanted this baby. It was more of how can we provide him his best life, the best opportunities to thrive in this world that we're living in. And I think that was what I was struggling with the most in the beginning, because I did not feel equipped. My oldest child was not even two. And I had thought that I had already figured out this parenting gig. We had gone through the sleepless nights. We had already fought with her for certain foods she didn't want to eat. And, you know, I went in there in that screening feeling pretty good, feeling like I wasn't a rookie anymore and I knew what I was doing. And then, bam, we got hit with this news that kind of just brought me back to the beginning of really not sure how to approach the situation that we found ourselves in.
Yeah, I remember in your email you said that you went through like the goop twice, that metaphor of transformation where you're like, I don't know who I am anymore. This is really, really new. So you had your little girl who is a toddler. And then, so talk to me about what it meant to go through that transition again in having a child who has some extra needs through your pregnancy and maybe after he was born.
I think for the most part, I basically leaned on my husband a lot. He was the one that he had some interaction with adults with Down syndrome. So he kind of knew something that I didn't know, which helped a lot. I remember my first worry that I told him one day he was changing my daughter after we showered her. And I just started breaking down to him saying, our son will never be able to have his own family. And he looked at me and he goes, we don't know that. We don't know that these, a person with Down syndrome, a child, an adult, they're so capable of much more than what our society kind of has told us for the most part, at least for me. And so we really don't know what the future holds. So it's kind of more learning to have faith in the unknown. And when he was born, it was like a peace came over me a little bit. We were still worried because we knew he was going to need open heart surgery and we didn't know what else he would need. But I saw him, I physically saw him and those little almond shaped eyes. And it brought a peace over me that I don't think I could really explain why or how. But it was kind of like, yeah, I think we'll be able to do this. I think little by little with the support of our family and friends. And the Down syndrome community is amazing also. We'll be able to give this little guy a good life.
Yeah. So how old was he? Has he had a heart surgery yet?
He did. So that was another struggle. That was another bringing me back in the form of goop. Once I thought like I was, now I knew we could handle this. And then he was 3 months when he had an open heart surgery. And then I was just brought back down into not sure how to handle that, a super scary thought. But thankfully we live in a world where, you know, medicine has come so far and it's impressive what they do. I don't like to think too much about it, but he did well. We had a great team of doctors and his cardiologist and the surgeon. They were all so wonderful. And he did well after a week in the hospital. We were able to take him home and start figuring out our new normal with him.
Yeah. So what was his recovery like at home afterwards? Was it do you just have to tend the wound or were there some other things?
Like any other, no, that was it. Really before the surgery was what we were worried about because he could have had what you call a blue spell, which is their lips turn blue and then we would have had to take him to the hospital. My husband was actually more worried about that than I was, I think because I was more ignorant about what it meant. He's in the medical field, so he knew. But I think we kind of balanced each other in that way. For things that he was worried about, I would calm him down a little bit. And for the things that I was worried about, he would calm me down. But yeah, it was fine after we brought him home. And again, we started changing what we thought our life was going to be like with two kids. And we actually found out that it was kind of the same, you know.
Yeah.
We had a little boy and sure, we had to take him to his therapies, but his sister was obsessed with him. and he's a fighter. He's a fighter.
So how old was he when he started his first therapies?
Right after. We waited, I think, a month after his surgery to let the wound heal. And then we went into it twice a week.
So does he still receive therapy? Is he going, he's going to be going to school pretty soon?
He is. He's in school. He's actually at the school where he started doing his speech therapy and they're amazing there. And they love him. They might spoil him a little bit, but they also know when to put their foot down, which is what he needs. If you ask anyone who knows him, you know, he's a little charmer. But he gets his speech therapy there. They do occupational therapy there. It is an inclusive school, so there's typical kids and then there's kids with special needs, very small, but we're really happy with how we found ourselves there, thanks to the silver lining, I guess, of the pandemic is kind of where, how we found this place.
Is it a private school or is it part of the public school system?
It's private. It's private. Okay. A lot of public schools, unfortunately, were at closed because the programs that he would have needed to be at closed because not a lot of kids were enrolling because of the pandemic. So
yeah, that's really hard.
Yeah.
So how do you think that you have grown and changed from, you know, you went through your pregnancy, you had this news, you went through the heart surgery. Like, how do you think that you've transformed as a woman through your motherhood experience of having a child with Down syndrome?
Well, for starters, it has definitely got me out of my introvert shell, believe it or not. This is me out of my comfort zone here. But I think it's important because, like I said in the beginning, even though I knew I wasn't the first person to get a diagnosis, I felt completely alone and lost, and I didn't know what to do. And when I finally did get my feet on the ground a little more stable, I said, I don't want someone else to feel this way. And I think that's a lot of us, most parents that are advocates for their kids, you know, do it. And we put our stories out there to let other people know you're not alone. And it'll be okay. And you will have to go through that transformation and that journey. But it's at the end, you know, when you finally get there, it's just so wonderful. So hang on. And I think for me, it's made me come out and speak up about it and let people know and not be shy to show our family and what we do, our snippets of our lives, and how having a kid with special needs is not a burden. It's a huge blessing. He brings this new perspective into our lives that I could have never imagined before receiving his diagnosis.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you hadn't met him. Like right. Now that when you met him, you're like, oh, like you're my person, like you're my son. And now we're going to get to know each other and like do life together.
Exactly. Yeah, figure out life together.
Yeah, exactly. Just like any other mom who's like, okay, little person, now I'm meeting you and I have to figure out who you are. Like that was, you just had some additional things to consider in his development and his journey. So as you were talking, I was remembering this time my son has, he's autistic. So we had just gotten his autism diagnosis and I was kind of just in the throes of trying to just come to terms and adjust. It was really like a month or two or a few months after we got this diagnosis. And we went to the park and I remember seeing a little girl there. I think she was playing with one of my little sons. My son was 8 years old when he was diagnosed with autism. So it was one of my little kids. So they were playing together. And then this mom also had an older daughter and I later found out that she was in her early 20s, but she had about the same type of mentality as her little sister, who was around 2 or 3. And as I just watched this mom interact with both of her daughters, I could just tell that she was not in a place of adjustment anymore. Like she had just fully embraced her life. And I thought, wow, like I want to be that mom who's like not adjusting anymore. I just want to feel settled. And I didn't yet. I did not feel settled in my life. I felt like I was still in upheaval. I didn't really know how to accept this new place we were in, this new diagnosis. But I just remember watching them interact and the joy that was on both of these sisters' faces as they played together and they both shared dolls together, even though they were probably like 16 or 18 years apart. And I was like, wow, that this is just a family. Like these are just siblings and like this is this mom's life.
That's their normal.
Yeah. So, and now I feel, so that was about 7 years ago. And now I'm like, okay, I know that I'm not adjusting anymore. I know that I'm settled. And so like, do you have like a situation where you realized, hey, I'm not in that adjustment anymore. Like I feel settled. Do you have like a story that you could describe that process for you?
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think I'll be honest with you. I think we go through that more than once.
I think so too. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, you know, like you're saying, when your kid starts now a new phase in life, you kind of have to resettle like your mentality and realize, hey, okay, now they're becoming little adults. And, but yeah, no, the first time for sure for me was, it was about a year after we had received Leo's diagnosis. It was Halloween and Leo was dressed up as Sebastian from Little Mermaid. And his older sister was dressed as Ariel because she picked it, obviously. And I was dressed as Flounder and my husband was dressed as Prince Eric. And I just remember taking a picture with them all. And I was carrying Leo, you know, facing forward the camera. And I feel his little legs bouncing up and down. And I see his little chubby cheeks in a smile because I think one of the grandparents were trying to make him, you know, laugh. And I kind of just realized that, yes, my son has special needs. He's a little different than other typical kids, but all he wants is to be loved and all he wants is to have fun. And he was in his zone there, cracking up. He had no idea what was going on or why we had a crab hat on him, but he was happy. And it was actually that day that I decided I wanted to create, at that moment it was Instagram was like the hit, I guess the popular thing. I don't know. So again, another thing I wasn't into before was social media. And then because of him, I kind of got out of that shell. But I decided to create that Advocate Instagram account to show other people that, look, this is not scary. This isn't a prison sentence. We're living our lives like we would have with if we just had a typical child. And I want to create this world where people realize that he's different, but it's okay. And his differences and all our differences, what makes the world a unique place and a better place really ultimately. And that was definitely when I kind of felt that comfortable, that I was in that comfortable place. But then, you know, school started and I realized that I was nervous again, where we were going to put him. And then we happened to find this place that they love him there and they really push him to where he needs to go. And then I also felt a sense of relief. And I was again in that comfortable place. Mm-hmm. But now we're going to move him to another school for purposes of time wise and stuff and distance. But I'm getting nervous again.
Yeah.
He's not fully communicating with me. So I won't know if it's the best place for him really. So definitely I get that you get to the place of feeling that sense of peace and calmness, but it's a continuous cycle for sure.
Yeah.
At least for me.
Yeah. Oh no, it is for me too. I'd realize I've had those big moments or those big conversations and you're like, okay. Like I remember a couple of years ago, we were having a conversation about what is it going to look like? Is he going to graduate from high school on a typical timeline? Is he going to be able to have a job one day? Is he going to live with us forever? And we had that big conversation about would we be okay with this? And both my husband and I were like, yes, 100%. But we had never had that conversation before. It was just like unvoiced. But after we said that, we're like, yeah, we'd be okay with him living with us, you know, for the rest of his life, 100%. And now I think he's just grown and developed in new and different ways. And I think that maybe he will go to college one day and like, maybe he will, like, I think he and his twin brother are going to, they're best buds and they're going to live together. So yeah. I don't know. I don't know what his future is going to look like. You know, for any of my kids. Yeah, I know. So it'll just be, it's that constant adjustment. So I think right now I feel pretty confident about him, but we've had those moments where we've had to keep adjusting, like you said. Okay. So
finding that.
Tell me more about your Instagram account and what that space has meant to you and also to the people who interact with your account.
Well, it's definitely changed a lot over the few years. I think it'll be almost 6 years that I've had it. But it's great. I get from it, I think, as much as other people do, because there's a whole community out there of other parents, even siblings who have these advocate accounts as well. And you kind of create like a relationship with them, even though you've never really met. And it's a mutual understanding that you both know something, a little secret that you're trying to share with the rest of the world. And so really what at least mine, because everyone's is different. What I'm doing now that Leo's becoming a little more, I don't know what the word is, let's see, I think independent maybe, or he's definitely been making big strides in his development. And I kind of have been sharing that. And he's a silly kid. So I definitely, there's never a dull moment between him and his little brother, who they're basically like twins. People ask me all the time. They're three-year age difference, but they're pretty much kind of on the same page right now, unfortunately for me. Fortunately for them. And then their older sister, who's a circus leader, you know, she bosses them around, but they love it. And I kind of just try to share that with the world on the Instagram account. Little, again, it's just a glimpse, because I also don't want to spend too much time videoing them and stuff, or sharing too much, but just so people start getting an idea and say, hey, you know, maybe the next time I see someone with Down syndrome, I'll go up to them and talk to them and not be scared to talk to them. And that's kind of what it's evolved, the Instagram account. It's evolved into a space where I was finding comfort, where I was trying to make other parents not feel scared or worried, to now creating a world. I'm trying to help create a world where my son is accepted. People see his worth. People see that he has something to offer, and they're not scared of something different from what they're used to. And so that's kind of where we're at. Again, a very silly account, because he's a five-year-old boy coming up with mischief all the time with his sidekick and the boss lady.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at right now. And we'll see, you know, maybe, like you said, I think in the future, I hope he can be his own advocate. And I have no doubt that his siblings will advocate for him and everyone else in the family. So we never know where it'll go or where it'll evolve to.
What are the conversations like that you have in your family with your kids? I'm sure that, has your daughter said anything? I'm sure he knows he has Down syndrome and he's different, or he looks different than she does. Or maybe that's just been a conversation from the very beginning.
Yeah, we've tried to always say we're not scared of the word, talking to her about it. Obviously, she was very little. She didn't understand. She's starting to understand a little more. Mm-hmm. But still not really. Like, for example, the other day, he didn't want to eat something just because he didn't like it. And she goes, Mommy, she calls me Mommy, is it because he has Down syndrome? She'll say stuff like that, not in a judging way or anything, just as a matter of fact, asking. And we're like, no, you don't like some things, and he doesn't
he just didn't want to eat it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see that journey as they get older and like go to school. And I'm sure she will be such an amazing advocate for her brother. But I know like for our kids, like we've had to continue to have conversations with them, or continue to have conversations about being patient with things like sensory issues or anxiety issues or communication issues that come up because of autism. And that's been a continued process for our family as well. So.
Yeah. And I think that's why they say siblings with a brother or sister with special needs are more compassionate. And I think it's because they have to learn. For example, she'll be playing with something and he'll go over and knock it down. A, because, you know, he's her little brother and that's his job. But B, because he also doesn't understand that it's not funny. He thinks it's funny. So we definitely have, but she's so great with him and she has so much patience. Obviously she, like you probably know, they lose their patience, but it's just something that even I lose my patience as a mother with all my kids. And it's just something that the more you work on it, the easier maybe it might get, I hope. Maybe not.
Yeah, one would hope. You think, okay, all right, eventually I'll get there. This patience thing has got to kick in one of those years, right?
Hopefully.
So maybe I'd love to hear about community that you have garnered for yourself and maybe you've provided for others. Have you had like a mentor in your life, or like somebody who has a Down syndrome child who's maybe a few years older than you that you look up to, who's given you advice, and maybe who have you been able to do that for others?
Yeah, I was fortunate to actually talk to a mother. My friend put me in contact with her, who had a has a boy. I think he's 8 years older than Leo, so he's got to be like 11 or 12 now. And she talked to me when I was pregnant with Leo. We had just found out, and she said so many things that just still resonate with me. And we're her youngest daughter is good friends with my daughter, so we carpooled this year, and it's been nice because I like to see her son, and we still talk, and I tell her things. She's like, yeah, I know. So it's nice to have someone that understands what you're going through and can kind of give you a heads up too. And then I was also fortunate to join our local Down syndrome community. My I don't remember who was it that showed me their link, and they have an annual walk, and we went to the annual walk, and one thing led to the other, and now my sister and I are super involved in it. And it's, they're a fantastic group of people. They all have kids, older kids with Down syndrome. And so any questions that I have, I'm like the newbie there. I raise my hand. I'm like, hey, what do I do about this? And they give me that their advice, many different advices. And I take it gladly and great. I'm super grateful for them. So definitely, I would always say to find, there's always a community somewhere, even if it's online, because we're living in a world now that a lot of stuff are online. And that community, like I said, I talk with a lot of moms with other kids who have Down syndrome just online. I've never met them in person, but it's like that empathy that you share with them. I guess the mutual understanding of knowing what it is that you've been through and kind of knowing what it is that lies ahead, or hoping they give you advice for that.
Yeah. And your page too is part of that community that you offer, but also you gain from it as well.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So who do you think you are, like, as you are moving through this story? Like, what are some struggles that maybe you still deal with? And what are some strengths? We talked about how you've gained confidence from being like less introverted, but maybe some other strengths that you've gained through this journey.
I think being more open to changing the way that I view things for other aspects that might be something I had thought differently before, but I think, well, maybe I put myself in their shoes and see what they're going through. So I guess empathy would be something I've acquired through this journey, because at the end of the day, everyone just wants to know that they have a support system. They have someone who kind of understands them. And that's kind of something I would have just stayed within my bubble. I had a nice little bubble that I was comfortable in. And now I push myself out to kind of understand someone else's point of view, even if it makes me uncomfortable.
So if you had a mom come up to you, and maybe you do this often, do you get messages on your Instagram account from women?
I do. Which is, it's really, I mean, that they're not a lot really. I just get a handful every now and then, but those just keep me going and make me say, this is what I have to be doing right now.
Yeah. What would you tell that mom who maybe they have just gotten that ultrasound diagnosis or the blood work diagnosis? Like, what do you think the first few things you would tell her if she sent you a message on Instagram?
I kind of let them know that it's okay to mourn. You know, they had this picture of what their child's life was and what their family's life was going to be. And now they've been given this factor that they don't know how that's going to impact the child, their future. And so they do. We go through this mourning phase, and we kind of then emerge and start going through an acceptance journey. And it's slow and it's painful. And it's okay. And it's okay to cry, and it's okay to feel guilty. And it's okay to lean on the people who are there to support you. And really, eventually you find hope and your perspective on life starts to change. And that mold on what you thought your life and your kid's life was supposed to look like begins to morph. And you go through that goop that your podcast is about. And that the transformation of what normal for you meant changes, and what beauty means changes and our differences, we really, really start to comprehend that that's what makes this world a better place, if we let it.
Yeah, I love that. That's really great. Well, Lacey, I love to end our interviews with these rapid fire questions that are just for fun. No, don't worry. They're just for fun. So are you ready?
I guess that's a loaded question.
Which Disney princess would you like to take out to coffee?
Oh, man. I'm going to have to say Ariel.
Yes, because you know, your little girl was Ariel. Like
that's, yeah, she, we watched Little Mermaid, I think, once a day for a week, for weeks and weeks and weeks, that I'm like, if I don't, she'd be very upset with me if that's I don't take her out to coffee.
Like, Mom, you have to.
If she knew that and I picked someone else, she would be offended.
Yes. Would you rather spend a weekend at a cabin in the woods or in the city with great restaurants?
Ooh, in the city with great restaurants. Yeah. I'm not an outdoorsy person.
An ordinary moment that brings you great joy.
When I am sitting in the bed, my boys share a room, and all three of my kids are there, and my husband's sleeping one of them, and I'm sleeping the other two, and there's just the sound machine in the background and nothing else. Sometimes they're talking, sometimes they're not, but right there. Yeah, everyone in the same room all together. Not fighting.
Not fighting. Exactly.
Sometimes.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee. Oof.
You gotta have coffee. Morning. Yeah. Last show you binged and loved?
I'm watching now Virgin River.
Oh, I've heard. I watched some of that.
The new season came out, so.
Yeah, you got to catch up on it. I know it's really popular right now. That's a good one. Go-to book, fiction or nonfiction?
1,000 Splendid Suns.
Nice. When you were 5 years old, what did you want to be when you grew up?
A cowgirl.
Cowgirl, yes.
And now I'm someone who doesn't like being outdoors, so go figure.
The dream has shifted. What are you looking forward to?
School. Just kidding. No. I'm looking forward to school.
Yeah, we're recording. This will be airing later in the year, so probably when school is happening, but it is summer right now, and I am definitely looking forward to the kids going back to school too.
So maybe I should say summer.
Yeah, exactly.
Because when school starts, then you like looking forward to summer.
Yeah, exactly. All right, last one. Finish this sentence. Motherhood is
the greatest thing that's ever happened to me.
Oh, I love that. I'm so thankful that I got to talk to you today, and tell us where we can find you on social media and some other projects that you have going on.
My Instagram and Facebook is Extra Lucky World. I also have a blog, which, you know, depending on the time of year, sees some love or not. It's also our extraluckyworld.wixsite.com/blog.
Well, I'm so thankful you came on today, and I really hope you have a good rest of your day.
Yeah, same to you. Thank you so much. I'm really happy we did this.
Hey friends, thank you so much for listening to this episode today. I hope it encouraged you and gave you some good food for thought. We've hit 1 year of the Motherhood Metamorphosis podcast, and I'm pretty thrilled to meet this milestone. With almost 25,000 downloads for year one, I'm taking some big steps in year two and want to open up the podcast to sponsors. But not just any run-of-the-mill ads. I want to feature and support you, your businesses, side hustles, shops, social media accounts, the books you're writing, whatever. I want to feature the real live women and moms who are listening to this podcast to help you financially support your families and advance the projects that make your heart come alive. If you're interested in learning more about sponsoring an episode, send me an email. You can also become a financial supporter of the show at patreon.com/themotherhoodmetamorphosis and at Buy Me a Coffee. Donations to the podcast help me pay for hosting fees, Zoom costs, and also lets me know that you value the content I'm creating. Thank you again for listening and for all your support of this podcast. If you ever have any questions, comments, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, or find out more about becoming a sponsor, please email me at brittanyaming@gmail.com.